Welcome to another episode of Trajectory. I'm Jackson Jones, going to be your host. If you've never heard the podcast before, it's a one-on-one interview style podcast where I talk to different people from different walks of life about the path they took to get exactly where they are today. If you enjoy the show, please tell a friend about it. Your word of mouth is how we get listens. So enjoy another episode of Trajectory. Welcome to this week's episode of Trajectory. I am your host, Jackson. This is the podcast where we get into people's life stories, the path that brought them to where they are today. And I'm very excited about this one because I am a fan of this guy here. I work with him at Midwest Family Broadcasting. He is a broadcaster. He is a farmer. He is a brat man. I am joined by the one, the only, Bryant Chunk Gill. Is that the correct name?
That is correct, sir.
Thank you so much for sitting down and chatting with me. How are we doing today?
You know what? I'm really excited about the possibility, or excuse me, the getting to be part of this podcast here. I've heard nothing but good stuff.
Oh, and rave reviews.
And I love talking about myself. And today, I promise that most of the stuff I tell you is the truth.
See, this is the perfect chance to talk about yourself. That's why I love this podcast. All right, so we're going to get into the beginning because you have actually a pretty interesting story about you being born and your size. I mean, you've got a pretty good life, pretty interesting life from day one, correct?
Well, you know what? I was in the farming industry. We'd say that my dad was not an easy calving bull. My dad was the biggest baby ever born in Lafayette County at 13 pounds and 8 ounces.
That's almost 14 pounds.
That is almost 14 pounds, but I was a lot smaller at 13 pounds and 4 ounces. So I came out, you know, with a cigar and all mad, you know. I was a big baby, to say the least.
Wow. So you grew up on a farm?
I did. Grew up on a purebred Berkshire hog farm, which is we have hogs that are black with 5 white points. We're pretty proud of our Berkshire hogs.
What do you mean 5 white points?
What's so they mean? Got white on their face and they have socks. They have white on their feet all the way around. That's what makes them a Berk.
My dogs look like that.
There you go.
You have pigs that look like my dogs?
Yeah, I do.
Oh my God, that's so cool. So I got Berkshire dogs.
You got Berk pigs. Or you got Berk dogs.
Berk dogs. So what do you guys farm Berkshire pigs? What's the difference between those pigs and other pigs?
Well, you know what? Just like people enjoy having purebred dogs, in the upper echelon, if you would, of pork production is purebreds. And people used to laugh at my dad because Berkshire pigs were kind of looked down upon and they were a small breed. And you just got to know my dad.
Is this like, were they like a hobby pig? Like a fancy?
Yeah, years ago.
Oh, look at Fancy Dan, Farmer Dan over there with his fancy pigs.
Yeah, and they made fun of
pigs.
They made fun of my dad and you just got to know him.
Really?
He just kind of stuck his horn in the mud, and he's just like, I'll show you, you son of a bitch. And you know what? Honest to God, Berkshire hogs today are one of the most popular breeds in the world.
Wow.
And the fastest growing. I mean, they taste better. The Japanese have done extensive testing, and Berkshire pork is the best tasting pork.
So he was on the ground level pork belly Berkshire.
He was, and only because they made fun of him, and you just didn't do that. And Dad said he's going to show you, and by God, he did.
Right on.
And today you don't find too many Berkshire pigs in the world that don't have our blood, our herd's blood in them.
Really?
Nope.
That's super impressive.
It's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, like, you feel like you're feeding part of the world.
Well, you know what? When it comes down to it, if you got a Berkshire pig, you can thank a handful of individuals, and one of them is my old man.
I want the national anthem to play right now. I
might. If that's America!
If that's playing right now, I did that in post-production. Look at that, yeah. That's cool. So what was it like? I grew up in the city. What's it like growing up on a farm?
You know what? This sounds funny, but growing up on the farm, we were so darn lucky. You know, everyone talks about their home. We talk about a foam, all right? Because every part of the farm that we grew up on, the home farm, was where we grew up. I got memories in the crick. I got memories up in the corner of the crick. Of the 80. I got
what's the 80? Like the back 40? Is that a double 40? Is that a double back 40?
So you buy land in increments.
Okay.
Of like 240.
Okay.
So you split that in half. You got a 160, and you follow me?
I got you. So it's a double 40.
Yeah, it's a double 40, which is an 80.
Okay, I'm with
but,
you now.
I got. I'm blessed because I've had a lot of fun growing up. I got to do a lot of stuff that a lot of people didn't get to do.
So, also, what are the responsibilities of a farm kid when you're growing up? Because me, you know, we had family fun day. Dad would wake us up. We'd have to go do some chores. I painted a tree once.
Yeah.
We spent some leftover paint. But, you know, like, it wasn't anything on a daily. I went to school with kids that I know had daily chores they had to do.
You know what? Mom and Dad were pretty cool. Of course, we got up and we had, you know, a half hour's worth of chores to do.
Every morning?
Yeah. And, you know, and if you had a football game the night before, Dad wouldn't wake you up. He took care of chores, kind of a thing.
Well, if you won, then what if you lost?
We didn't lose. No, we lost. We lost from time to time. No, you know what? How do I say it? You know, if we were in basketball or if we're in sports, we never had to do chores at night unless you weren't in sports.
Oh.
Then you had chores due at night. The biggest thing we got to do was we had an opportunity to build in ourselves, if that makes sense. If you wanted to work, Dad was going to help you get whatever you wanted. If that meant buy a four-wheeler, buy a car or something like that, that would help you and make it a possibility for you to be able to pay for that kind of stuff. Additionally, we showed a lot of pigs.
What do you mean? You showed them what?
So you ever seen a dog show on TV?
Certainly. Westminster Dog Show, one of the greatest events on television.
Exactly. And how many? Everyone's a fan twice a year, right?
Do you get to run with a pig like they do in a dog show?
You don't run with the pigs.
Oh, man, that'd be really cool if you did.
Imagine, you know, if I have pigs, you have pigs, purebred hogs, and you have a litter of pigs born in June, and I had a litter of pigs born in June. At the state fair, we might bring a boy pig, a boar as we call them,
okay,
from our litter, and we'd compete against each other, and a judge would say which one was better.
And how good have you guys been at doing that?
I got to be honest with you, by no help of me. All right. I did chores and did what I was told.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a herd that's won more than my dad.
So would you show pigs when you were a kid when you were growing up? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And do you make money doing that?
Well, you don't do it to lose money. I got to tell you what, it used to be a lot more, used to make a lot more money doing it.
But really?
Like anything else, the states cut their budgets on everything.
Is there any like black market thing going on, like black market pig shows?
There's not black market pig shows because, you know, I'm talking like state fairs.
Yeah, yeah.
These are big deals.
Okay. All right. I don't know if since the money's been cut, they went underground.
I think they're, you know, Walker's giving money to fix roads, clearly.
Yeah. So. There's other priorities, than hogging. Okay. So did you play sports in high school?
We did. We played sports. I was a football player and a track player.
Were you a good student?
You know what? If honest to God, school was very easy for me.
How so?
I never studied for a test outside. Like when I got to high school, I never studied for a test.
Really?
No. I never had difficulty getting, you know, I made honor roll every semester.
Dick.
As long as I made honor roll, my mom and dad, I was spoiled because I lived on a farm, of course, but so you got a new pickup truck to drive. And as long as you made honor roll and took mom to church, Dad paid for the gas and paid the insurance.
That's pretty good incentive there to get some good grades.
Get good grades. And here again, like I said, you know, if you had a football game on Friday, we didn't get up to do chores. He slept in until he had to go to school. And
that's not too shabby.
My dad was the biggest coach, or excuse me, the biggest fan there ever was. You know.
Oh, okay.
So and mom was too.
So how many of you were there?
There's three of us. My oldest brother Ben. And then Brandon, and then Bryant, me, of course.
Are y'all big fellas like you?
I tell you what, I always had two little brothers.
Really?
Yes.
So you're the youngest.
I'm the baby, and I have two little brothers.
You're a big dude. Like you're tall. Like, are they both like a lot shorter than you, or are they just not?
My oldest brother Ben is in his multiple handicap. He's in a wheelchair.
Okay.
He was injured when he was born.
Oh, okay.
So he's severely mentally disabled and physically.
Okay.
And he's, how do I say it? He's probably comes up to my shoulder, but he's got biceps bigger than my head. You know what I mean? He's just a brute. My middle brother, Brandon, he's approximately 3 inches shorter than me. He's pretty stocky.
Okay.
Not much of a belly on him. He's putting more belly on all the time, but, he's kind of a tough guy, you know, kind of a.
So what's I, you know, I have some friends that grew up with a brother, with her sibling with special needs. What are some of the difficulties that you had growing up with an older brother that was, you know, special needs?
Jackson, it's funny you say that, and I actually have the opportunity to share my story of growing up with Ben a lot to especially college kids. And the first thing I tell them is that people are so quick to identify, oh, that's your handicapped brother. No, That's my brother, who happens to be handicapped.
I was always told that you put the person before.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I used to, yeah, absolutely. Someone, because I used to do that too, and they said, no, you put the person
absolutely
before that, because they're a person.
Absolutely.
That just happens to have this.
And Jackson, how do I say it? I never knew any different. All right, I was the baby. So I just grew up, Ben was Ben, and this is just how you took care of Ben. You know, you get the front row parking spot in the big van with the TV. Because Ben, you know, and this sounds funny, and I, for your listeners out there that don't, I'm not going to get too churchy here.
Listener.
But, you know, every single doctor that we ever went to said Ben will never make it to 12 months old. They said there's no way in heck he'll ever make it to 5 years old. There's absolutely no medical way that he'll ever make it to 20 years old. Well, Ben today is 4 years older than me, so he's 37.
You know what I bet it is? Berkshire Hogs.
It could very well
could be. I mean, that's the only thing it could be.
It very well could be. Honest to God, though, I think it's just some people have that fighting spirit.
Yeah.
Additionally, I don't want to get too churchy here, but
hey,
at a certain point, medicine stops and something else takes over.
Yeah.
Wherever that higher deity is, I believe they're taking good care of Ben.
That's a really sweet thought right there. So now, you played sports in high school. You were a good student. So you got honor roll. So
I was on honor roll.
All right. I graduated because they didn't want me there anymore. So, yeah, I was a good student, I suppose. Yeah.
Right. He's gone.
But did you go to college?
You know what? I had great intentions of going to college.
Great. Delusions of grandeur.
I went to school, actually, originally to take x-rays. I went to school to be an x-ray tech. And I got into the hospital after taking the courses, and they were tough. You have to learn, like, A&P and, like, people that go to school to be a nurse, no BS. Those guys got some tough classes.
Well, yeah, you got to deal with sick people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I had to learn a lot of that stuff to go into what I wanted to do, to take x-rays. And so I actually really enjoyed it because it was a challenge. Like I was not the smartest kid in the world, but I didn't have to try, and I didn't. I was lazy that way. I got to tech school, college if you want to call it that, and I had to work. Just to make it.
Oh.
You know, and here again, you make honor roll, dad keeps paying your gas and paying
everything. So now you're going to make Dean's List.
Well, I was going to say, you had to work. Long story short, I got into the hospital, and they don't tell you this in the textbook, but people die in the hospital.
Yeah.
And they tell you not to make friends with anybody, any of your patients.
I used to be a room cleaner in the hospital.
Yeah.
And UW Hospital. And I used to just always think, every time I went in there, especially the children's hospital, I'd have to clean the rooms out after they checked out. And, you know, I don't know if they checked out or they checked out. You know what I mean? So I'd always tell myself, they went home happy. You know, and then steal their grape juice.
Right, because they weren't going to drink it anyway.
No, they weren't. It was unopened. You'd wash it off. You'd wipe it off with a cloth. Put it in my cart, and I'd drink that later.
Long story short, it was a very depressing job, or that third semester of school.
It takes a certain kind of person to do it.
It certainly does. I couldn't do it. I came home from Christmas, and my dad's like, what is your deal? And I was like, Dad, I hate what I'm doing. He's just like, well, what the hell? Quit. Like, do something else. What are you doing? I'm like, well, Dad, I've never quit. He's just like, you can quit this. He's like, I don't like you right now. You're in a bad way. You know, like, quit this. Go do something else. What do you want to do? I said, Dad, I didn't realize it until I got off the farm, but I got to do something with agriculture. I have to.
So you just miss the farm.
I miss the farm. I miss the people. I miss the conversations.
Miss the combine.
Yeah, I that combine. So I actually went back to school for ag business. And honest to God, I'm going to sound arrogant here, but I excelled in that program. I took advantage of some leadership opportunities. I became the Wisconsin State President of PAS, which is an ag group. I went on to become the National Vice President. And I got a lot of opportunities to, speak in front of people.
How do you like that?
I enjoy it.
Really? Have you always been a public speaker?
Growing up, my parents, my mom and dad were both trained teachers.
Oh.
And my mom was a administration in Galena, Illinois.
Okay.
And it was her idea, but dad enforced it, that I did every 4-H and FFA speaking contest there was.
Oh, wow.
So
that pays off because you're in broadcasting now.
Sure.
Yeah.
Looking back on it, it's like, they knew something, by God, you know, but... And the thing is, Jackson, you get it. If you're going to do it, if you're forced to do it, hell, I might as well win.
Yeah, I suppose if you're going to do it, you might as well be good
at it. Well, that's just it. So you work 15 minutes harder or longer, and you win. Life is good. So after graduating there and taking advantage of a lot of the opportunities that were given me there, great, I have nothing but fantastic things to say about Southwest Tech. Honest to God, they helped me get to where I am today.
And Southwest Tech Cougars, right?
We're the Chargers.
Fighting Chargers, that's right. Okay.
Southwest Tech Chargers.
Okay.
Anyway, I went into – I started running a sale barn for some friends of mine in Bloomington, Wisconsin.
Okay. That's something that's legal, correct?
It's completely legal.
Okay. You're like, no. Like the what? This is the kind of like family and like stuff that I was brought up around.
Yeah.
And like people that like I'm used to being around. When someone says like, yeah, I'm operating a sale barn, it's like, oh, yeah? What's he selling in there? You know, like it's like something like you either buy some car stereos, or you buy some under the table agriculture. So some of your terminology sounds like it could be criminal stuff.
Let me clarify here. A sale barn is a livestock sale barn.
Okay, thank you.
Individuals for the most part primarily sheep and cattle, mostly cattle.
Okay.
And I ran the sale barn mostly.
How do you start operating a sale barn? You just get a barn and some cattle, start selling them. Like, what do you do?
I don't know how they started it, you know, but how I started there.
You just got a job there.
It was an established already, and they had 40 some employees that were all part time. They'd show up for 8 hours a week. Well, 8 hours a day for twice a week.
You look at me when I asked if that was something that was legal, and it is. But the way that you're describing all of this, you're acting like it was like it sounds like something that's totally above board. It all sounds totally sketchy.
It's not.
We're moving
not.
Livestock, and I know it's not. I know this is how the stuff works, and I know that's. But just the description there, we got some.
We're
40,
getting to the sketchy.
We got
part.
40 part-time employees that run in and out of here. You know, Leo, a lot of them. You know, don't see nothing, don't know nothing. So, but anyways, okay. So you're running a sale barn.
That is part of the sale barn. You see nothing, you know nothing.
You know nothing.
That's just the rule you know.
What you got to do.
So, you know, they gave me – I excelled there only because the guys that were in charge that owned it, you know, they treated me like a brother, which that was great and awful at the same time. You know what I mean? You can imagine. But they they gave me more and more responsibility because I could handle it, and I worked with the individuals. And this sounds funny, but being so 500 people bring in 3,000 cattle, and then they get sold into, you know, 500 different ways. You know, they go to 500 new homes.
Okay.
And keeping that all straight.
Are you auctioning?
I am not auctioning. I'm simply – and I'm keeping things straight out back.
Okay. All right. You're calling the shot. You're air traffic control.
Honest to God, the guys we work with were fantastic, and all I really needed to do was from time to time – things would go wrong, and I would just have to step in and fix it.
Okay. All right.
You know?
The fixer. They call him the fixer.
More or less.
I just want to get the fixer in here.
And additionally, there was certain stuff that happened at the sale barn where a couple numbers went together or this animal needed to go over here that not everybody and their brother needed to know about.
Yeah.
So that was my job to take care of that stuff.
All right. You got to make sure everything went smoothly.
Yep.
Now, so when you're working with all these big animals, you ever got injured?
I did. I got injured a bunch.
What's the worst injury you've had?
Well, I got beat up by a bull pretty good and smashed up my face, broke my pelvis.
Really?
Yeah.
How'd you put yourself in a situation to get beat up by a bull?
Well, so I wasn't probably – I would not be your favorite boss, okay? Because if I can do it, why the hell can't you do it? If I can understand something, what the hell?
I get that, you know? Yes.
So long story short, there's some bulls in a pen, and there's some bulls in a pen next door. And they go on the same semi. All right, the same guy, they're going to become baloney.
Is this why you're working the sale barn?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, I'm at the sale barn. And these bulls are going to be made into baloney.
I like a good piece of baloney.
Right. And, you know, they were kind of jerks before, but, you know, they've kind of got the fight out of them, if that makes sense. They beat the hell out of each other in the pens, and now they're going to get along.
They're defeated. They're going to be baloney.
Right.
They're not going to be steaks. I mean, so they're obviously jerks.
They're clearly.
You know? Yeah.
So after a sale, you can imagine that not every bale of hay is eaten up by all the cattle. All right?
Got it.
So in this pen, there's a whole bale of hay sitting there. And in these two other pens where the bulls were, there's no hay left. Well, those bulls are hungry. And I didn't want to go get another bale of hay, so I just decided I'd drive those bulls into the next pen and move the identification so they'd all be in the same pen with plenty of feed and I could go home.
Okay.
Mind you, I had told the employees, which one of them at the time was my brother, I told them to take care of this stuff, and they couldn't understand it, so I got mad and told them, just, you know, go to hell, go home.
I'll do it.
Oh, you know, no. Just leave. Just leave. Which was, you know, ignorant on my part because I was moving the bulls, and then I woke up in Iowa City.
What? Nobody wants to wake up in Iowa. How'd you wake up in Iowa?
I apparently on the in the ambulance, I demanded that they not take me to Madison.
Ugh, why?
Do we want to get into that?
We'll leave it at that. We'll leave it at that. So yeah. You're in Iowa.
Yuck. Iowa City.
Anyways, okay.
So I have 7 pins in my pelvis.
Wow.
Where the bull broke my pelvis in 3 spots. Well, it was in 3 pieces. So
what,
I guess
what happened? What went wrong?
I honest to God, I got pulled out of the big animal. I got pulled out of a hay feeder. So I was in a hay feeder somehow.
What's a hay feeder?
A hay feeder is a steel contraption that holds hay. That okay. There's bars that animals can stick their heads through and eat the hay, and there's bars everywhere.
And you were in it?
Yes. I don't know how I got in there. I was kind of half in there, half out, and I was beat up pretty good. My face, I have 5 plates in my face. I have 7 pins in my pelvis.
So you
I have a rod in my femur.
Or so you're a pain to go through in airport security,
no,
aren't you?
No, they let you right through, Jackson.
You grow a beard, they're going to pull you into the basement.
For sure. Yeah. And they're going to put on the tight glove.
It's on. Oh, it's on after that.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about that. That was a dark day.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So, wow. So how long did that take you to heal?
You know, I still limp.
Really?
Yeah. If you ever notice, I can't help it.
I thought you were just about that game.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I got the pimp limp, but ain't got no game.
Oh, I see.
It's no good. And genuinely, I can't help it. I walk down the hall and I'm just kind of. Doo-doo.
Get a cane and a big hat from a distance, somebody's going to question you.
Exactly. Exactly. If I've got a purple suit on, you know they're pulling me over.
So how do you get from running a supposedly legal sale barn to getting to working with one of the most respected ad broadcaster in the state, the Farm Bay Pam Yonke? That's a pretty big deal.
Well, I tell you what, after laying on my back there for I kind of had a come to Jesus revelation, if you would.
Yeah, getting beat up by a bull is going to do that to a person.
You know what it did to me, Jackson, was I sat in that hospital for 14 days.
Whew.
And one person came to see me. One.
Who was that?
My priest.
Oh, nice of him to do
that.
That
was it.
Where's your mom at?
Well, my mom and my dad came.
Other than that?
No.
That sucks.
It really does. And I was mad about it for the longest time. And then, you know what? Eventually, it's like, you know what? Maybe you're the asshole.
So the job was – so maybe do you think the job was making
know.
You mean?
I don't know.
Making you a hardened farmer?
I think so. I was I was all about that money and not about people. I was not about people at all.
Hmm.
And it was kind of a dark spot in my life, if you would.
All right.
But things get brighter now, all right? Because after I get better, I moved back in with my folks and started kind of rebuilding things. I didn't go back to work at the sale barn. Mind you, there was no lawsuits or anything ever.
Okay.
I wouldn't do that. But anyway.
Do you think that you were at fault for what happened?
Or
do you think it's just an accident? Because you're on big
animals. This shit just happens.
Crap happens.
You know what? And I shouldn't have told the guys to leave, and I shouldn't have been moving them by myself.
Fair enough.
And I should never change or close – or. I should never turn my back on him either.
It's you know it's good to see a person have that kind of self-awareness because not a lot of people do. You know where you know someone will make a mistake at work and they can you know profit off of that. So it's obviously somebody else's fault. To know that maybe there are steps that maybe you weren't 100% at fault, but maybe there are steps that you could have taken to you know to not do that. And plus, you got knocked out. You know you don't remember what it is. You know, and sometimes act of a bull. But sometimes the bull turns around and hits you upside the damn head.
That's just
you can do.
You got to respect those big animals, and I got.
Oh yeah,
I was probably angry. I was probably whatever.
Boy, wasn't having any BS.
So I moved back home and kind of got back to my roots, if you would. Started really enjoying the hog thing again, and
well, yeah, because they're not bulls,
right? And I started blogging. I started writing this fun blog about my little neighborhood and the fun stuff that would happen in it. And how I would kind of pick fun at it. I call it the Elk Grove Nation. Where I live in a township called Elk Grove.
Okay.
And there's a pile of people about my age that grew up there. And I had a lot of friends there.
Okay.
And we would, and they're all farmers, which is great. And I would, you know, I'd pick fun at stuff like, you know, happening in the Elk Grove Nation today, you know, the Waggles got a new gravel road. How about that? Or a new gravel driveway.
You know? Oh, damn.
Yeah, hot damn. You know?
That's big news right there.
You know, the Johnsons went around the corner a little too fast with their manure hauler, and they need to get back out there and scrape that up. You know, just kind of stuff like that. Just it was just fun. It was just kind of fun, whatever. And I got a lot of attention on that.
And how old were you when you were doing this?
24.
Okay.
20.
How old are you now?
I'm going to be 32 in June.
You look a day over 31.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
So probably about 7 years ago now.
Okay.
I started doing it, and I wrote that blog for about 3 years.
Oh, and just for fun, just for
yeah, it was just for fun, and I was buying and selling some livestock on the side, not taking life too serious. And
I know people that are like, yeah, I just buy and sell some weed on the side. You know, like, you talk about it the same way that I have friends talk. You just talk about bags of herb. You talk about cattle. I just think it's how, like, it's two totally different ways of life.
Yeah.
You know, like, I wish I had more friends that were like, yeah, I have a lot less friends that went to jail and stuff. And they're like, yeah, I made a little bit of money selling this, you know, moving these cows.
So you laugh at this, whatever, but like, beer was super easy to get back in the day.
I grew up in Belleville. I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's plentiful.
Maybe I'm just completely uncool, but we never saw weed. At least I never did.
Oh, we had friends who went to Madison.
Okay.
Yeah. So okay. We go up there and get it. We go to the Madison kids or Verona kids had it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
yeah.
Anyway.
But I had friends that, you know, like through, like out of college, we weren't really doing much bumming around selling a bag of weed here and there. You know, where you're like, yeah, it's 24, you know, slinging some beef here and there. You know?
Yeah. You know.
Just dropping a T-bone once or twice.
It was, you know, what I would do is I'd go to farmers and I would buy their coal cows for cash. Coal cows. Its usability as a dairy animal is used up.
Okay.
It's time to salvage her.
All right.
In other words, she's going to hamburger.
So you would buy those?
I would go to your farm and like I could look at her because I worked in the sale barn and I could see value. I was always really good at evaluating livestock. I was good at that.
Hmm.
You know, judging contests and stuff. And I could look at a cow and be like, well, I know she's going to grade, you know, whatever. And she's going to sell for 97 cents and she weighs 1,000 pounds. So that makes her worth $970. And I would go to you and be like, I'll give you $875 cash right now.
This is like those house flipping shows
kinda on
HGTV. So you're flipping cows.
Kind of, but I'm giving you cash.
Yeah. Well, they do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
So I would do that. And, you know, once my trailer was full, you know, I might get 8 or 10 cows on there.
Okay.
I would do that, and then I would just get drunk till the money was gone.
That sounds too bad.
Yeah, and, you know, I drove fancy trucks, and God, I had lived the dream, man.
Fancy trucks and fast women.
Yeah, and you talk about, you know, those big diesel trucks that blow black smoke everywhere.
Rolling coal?
Oh, yeah, that was me, man. I didn't have, like, old trucks doing that. I got brand new ones and tore all the stuff off. Oh, yeah.
Oh. Okay, so you're doing the blog. So how'd you get into make the leap into broadcasting?
You know what's funny is I'm at the college farm with a good friend of our family's who she runs the college farm, like.
What's a college farm?
College farm, University of Wisconsin, Platteville, has a farm that they, like, kids learn on.
Okay. Is it like a full size farm?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Milking dairy, hogs, beef cattle. They got it all. And that's about 2 miles from my home farm where I grew up. And we made really good friends with them, with those people over there. Lo and behold, my brother was a few credits short of graduating, and my dad gave him a bunch of sows, and all of a sudden my brother graduated.
Well, you know how these things happen. Yeah, you know, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it's a
little
tomato,
bit of
right?
That. Yeah.
Well, anyway, so we become very good friends with her. She ran the farm. And I'm sitting in her office one day, and she's like, Bryant, I know you're having a lot of fun, but boy, you're throwing away a lot. You know, why don't you try something different? I'm just like, well, what the hell am I going to do? You know, she's like, well, what do you want to do? I was like, well, I'm pretty good at getting up and talking to people. And I was doing some of that too. I talk a lot about Brother Ben to classes and stuff. And she's like, well, this is a long shot, but why don't you try this? And I look at her, whatever, assistant farm director with Pam Yonke. And we don't listen. Ooh, shouldn't say that. we didn't listen to Pam in Platteville because we couldn't hear her because we have a different broadcast or different ag broadcaster down there.
But did you know who she was?
Yeah, we knew who she was.
Everybody knows a farm babe.
Right. I had run into her a few times, and so I knew who she was.
Okay.
I never in a million years thought that I'd get an opportunity or whatever. And I'm out mowing the grass one day or whatever, and I stop to, you know, get another bush light and take a leak, and I got a message from Pam Yonke. She's like, Bryant, I listened to your tape, this and this, whatever. Where did you learn to talk like that? So I call her back, whatever. I'm like,
where did you learn to talk like
I'm just like, you know, this is Bryant. She's like, Bryant, blah, blah, blah. You called me back right away. I'm like, well, you know, I would have answered, but I was mowing the grass. She's like, okay, blah, blah, blah. Why don't you come up to Madison? I would love to sit down and talk with you. So we did. And I had an interview, and she pretty much told me that it was – okay, so the very first time she sits me down in the room in front of – in the studio. She's like, interview this person. I didn't know what any of these buttons meant. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking at them. I'm just like, holy
shit. There's a lot of buttons.
Yeah, a lot of buttons. And I've never been in a radio station. I didn't know any of that stuff, dude. Completely cold, you know? I'm pig farmer here, right? Anyway, so Ebo, who I respect to this day or whatever, Ebo kind of sneaks in or whatever. He hits some buttons. He's like, you're good to go. When you're done, hit this button. I'm like, thank you. So I interview this lady or whatever. And Pam comes back in after like 30 minutes or whatever. She's like, you're still talking? I'm like, sorry. She's like, I get it, you know? And she's like, well, what did you learn? I'm like, you know, she's like, well, what kind of questions do you ask? And I was like, well, I just want to know all about what she did. She's like, excellent. Long story short, she decided that she was going to take an ag kid that spoke ag language and teach them radio as opposed to taking a radio kid and teaching them ag.
Makes sense.
It's, you know, you could become a farmer, Jackson.
Yeah.
And in 10 years, be on the same level as we are. You know, after 6 months, you could talk the talk. You know what I'm saying? But
okay.
After living it and doing it for a while, you get it. And like, I wasn't a dairy farmer, but I don't even know why I have an extensive knowledge about dairy. I don't even know. It's just stuff
you
picked
do.
Up. Yeah.
And then, well, actually, and that's going to be more handy for your job as opposed to, you know, there's things, nuances that you're going to be able to pick up on that other people wouldn't be able to pick up on.
Right. And marketing was always something that I was part of. I always wanted to be an auctioneer, so I went to auctioneer school just
can
so
you,
I knew what
can
to
you, help. Can you auctioneer?
What do you want me to sell?
Oh, man.
Let's sell this phone.
Let's sell this iPhone right here.
Then I should have been a 35. Now 40. Would you bid a 40? I'm a bid a 40. Would you bid a 45? 55. 45. Thank you. Now 50. 50. 50. 50. Now 50. Would you bid a 50? I'm a bid a 50 here. Now 55. 55. Would you bid a 55? 55. Got to go. 55. Sold out $50. Jackson Jones.
You go to school to learn that?
Yeah, I did.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I can teach you. How often do you use that at the bar?
That's honest to God, the only.
Have you ever used that to get a girl's number?
Absolutely.
Oh, there we go.
Absolutely. Damn, and I'm telling you what, when you got a mug like this, you need a couple tricks up your sleeve.
Oh, pshaw. They can see the pictures. You're a handsome young man.
Right.
You're a handsome man.
Genuinely, though, that was the only reason. I was still laid up. I was still laid up and really feeling sorry for myself. And my dad's like, yeah, you can go. I'll pay for it. Just go away.
Really?
My dad did not handle the whole depressed bright thing.
There's a whole other side of the world I didn't even know existed. I thought you just because I can talk fast.
Sure.
So I figured they just find fast talkers and then figure out where they
well,
listen honest,
you don't
to
need
a tape.
To go, you don't need to go to school necessarily. You can learn from CDs.
That probably helps.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And what a lot of people don't know is pound for pound or per profession, there's more millionaire auctioneers than any other profession combined.
Really?
Yes. Because
why?
Because all you need is a microphone and your voice.
And do they make that much? I mean, like, what? Okay, look, I got a microphone and a voice and stand outside in a freaking street corner and not make any money. Now, it's a high-paid profession, I'm assuming?
Well, you know, how do I say this? If I'm getting 5% of the gross and I have $1 million sale, well, that's a good day.
Oh, wow.
And here's the thing. If I have a $100,000 day, $100,000 and I get 5% of the gross, still a good day.
So do you do any auctioneering anymore?
I do charity benefits.
Okay.
I have a lot of fun with those because that's kind of auctioneer I am. I like to lean on people and tell a little story, that kind of thing. You know, stomp your feet and make some noise if you want to see Jackson spend $7,500 on this. And I, you know, get the crowd involved. I have a lot of fun with it. Hmm. I really do.
Well, a little bit of entertainment side to it.
Yeah. And especially if you've got some good buddies with you, some fun people with you, that and you got a fun crowd. It's just – it makes for just a really fun evening. It really does.
So while you're doing the entertainment stuff, you also got back into some of the farm business.
Yes.
And you're all sausaged out. You're putting your meat out in people's mouths.
So here's the thing about the Wisconsin brats. I got tired of – I'm not running down anybody's brats, okay? I'm not. I'm just saying that mine taste better and are higher quality.
Why is that?
Ours are made with Berkshire pork.
Quality Berkshire. As we learned at the beginning of this podcast, quality Berkshire
pork. That's correct.
Pork.
It's the best tasting pork in the world. I didn't say that. I didn't prove that. A whole bunch of smart people in Japan did.
So because now you make hot dogs and brats, and I will say this, sausage gets a bad rap. Sausage is known as being like the bad parts of the animal that nobody wants. But I love me some hot dogs. You know, love me some smoked sausage. So I know that it's got good parts in there. So that's what you do is you want to make sure you had a high quality product.
Exactly. And I – more than anything, I wanted to, not everybody can afford to buy a Berkshire hog, all right? But everybody can afford a pack of brats. And when they taste that, they're just like, holy crap, it's that much better. I'm like, yeah. And guess what? It's fed GMO corn. Oh, my God. And oh, guess no. what? When it was sick, it got a shot of antibiotics. So it would not be sick anymore.
Oh, no.
I know. It's crazy.
Oh.
And they're like, so what do you give it to make it so special? And it's like, cold water. That's the secret. Cold water and plenty of sunshine, and that genuinely.
Really?
Yep. It's fed the corn out of my dad's cornfield and the water out of our stream, or out of the well. And that makes
the whole difference there.
You know, the reason, Jax, we can go on. I could tell you all about why your food is so cheap. It's because it's so, you know, the food at the grocery store is so cheap because it's so efficient.
Hmm.
So, like, when they get done cutting all, like, what we call the high-end cuts off a hog.
Yeah.
There's still bits of meat everywhere, okay? You know what they do? They take those bits of meat.
And make other stuff with it.
And they make hot dogs. There's nothing wrong with them.
I have no problem. Here's the deal. When someone says, like, you know, hot dogs made out of lips and assholes, I'm just as surprised that those taste that good.
Exactly. Because
they're friggin' delicious.
They're delicious.
And yeah.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with the product. It's a high-quality product. In fact, people don't understand. America, we got the cheapest and the safest food supply in the world.
Oh, it's good to be around here. I know that.
It's good to be
around. So you're running Wisconsin brats?
Yes.
And how do you like doing that?
You know, you learn a lot about business really quick. When you're using your money. All right?
Becomes real then, huh?
Real quick, real fast. And here's the thing. You can ask anybody in the business. No one's ever learned anything making money. You learn a lot when you lose money.
Ah, have you learned a lot?
I've learned a bunch.
I say, well, I've learned one thing, though. We love your brats. My wife's had the blueberry brats. And then we've had a couple other ones that we've maybe stolen from the refrigerator here at work.
You like some wieners, too?
I love a wiener. I love a good wiener in my face.
Good.
So, and I've had some of your wieners.
Yeah,
you make a solid wiener. You make a solid tubular meat.
That's what I strive for, is a solid. I don't know where to go with this.
Well, we're about out of time. We're going to wrap it up. And Brian Gill, a man of many talents.
I would want everybody to get out and check out WisconsinBrats.com.
Yes, absolutely. Wisconsin. And where else can they, if they want to find out more about, like, farm stuff, like, Brian, where do they go to get, you know, like, what's the farm 411 on where they can find out what's going on, you know, from you and from Pam Yonke and the fabulous farm report?
You know what? I'd really encourage people to get on to Wisconsin Farm Dude, WI Farm Dude, Brian Gill.
Okay.
Any questions that people have, I do my best to answer them in a fair, educated way.
Hmm.
If I don't know, I'm going to flat out tell you, I'm not the best person to ask you or to answer that question.
So, like, here's an expert, like, should I get a perm or not? Well, you know what? I don't know what your head type's like.
Well, here's the thing. If they ask me if they need a perm, the answer is always yes.
You're right about that, actually.
Because there's nothing more beautiful than a nice curly head of hair.
Man, there really isn't. You know, like a fuzzy picture, like glamour shots kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Does it get hotter than that?
No, and I want, like, off chin, like right here.
Certainly. I tell it to the side a little bit.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So, WisconsinBrats.com. Thank you so much, Brian Gill, for sitting down. And this is Trajectory. Please join us again for another episode. Thank you for listening to this episode of Trajectory. If you enjoyed it, please tell a friend about it. Please share it on your Facebook page, on your social media, on your Friendster, on your MySpace, whatever it is that you got. Also, coming up soon in the next couple of weeks, a new podcast I'm going to be starting with my lovely wife called The Maxson and Jackenzie Show. It's just two married people talking about the things that couples have to deal with and just general skullduggery. So again, enjoy, and I hope you have a wonderful day. We'll